Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Poland and earned a master's degree in music from Chopin University of Music. Since 1996, he's been a member of the Sistine Chapel Choir, also affectionately known as the Pope's Choir. It's the oldest choir in the world and has been the Pope's official choir since the 7th century. It consists of 20 adult singers and 35 children singers. His name, Cezary Stock, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Cezary Stock, who for the last 21 years has been a singer with the Sistine Chapel Choir. He's the first singer from Poland to be part of this choir in over 600 years. Cezary, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Welcome, everyone.
Can we start, Cezary, by talking about your childhood and what it was like growing up in Poland?
Yes. I was born in Olsztyn, the northeast part of Poland, actually called Warmia and Mazury. In the past, I mean before the Second World War, this territory was called East Prussia. My mother, Czesława Ruta, was born in the small town Tomaszów Lubelski by the east border of Poland. Anyway, his family probably came to Poland from Italy in the 16th century when the Polish king Zygmunt married Italian princess Bona Sforza of Bari. She brought, Bona Sforza in Poland, all his courtyard, inclusive the architects, painters and musicians. And beautiful Renaissance city of Krakow was created by them. From the beginning of the 20th century, my mother's family, because of the both world wars, lost almost everything. During the First World War, they lost a great pure blood horses breeding, and with the communism after the Second World War, they lost the big stock farm. My grandfather, who was a child, studied violin, became a very small farmer, but he continued to play violin every day. My father, Józef Stoch, was born in Ząb, near the Zakopane, in the Tatra Mountains, where all the people sing from the morning to the evening, really. So I think you can understand that with these musical roots, it was almost natural to become a singer. I want to say that from my father, I learned to never give up. From my mother, I learned to love and to forgive everybody.
In 1989 and in 1990, you come to America to earn money while you're in the university. And you came to New York City. Cezary, what did you do to earn money in 89 and 90?
Well, it was very funny period of my life. When I was a student, I went twice for the holidays in New York and New Jersey. Well, I put the carpets, I made the spreadable cheese in Newark, and I cut a lot of 2x4. I started my day with a 3 or 4 cigarettes, and I finished it with a six-pack, American six-pack. I remember when I walked on Manhattan, I saw St. Patrick's Church on the Fifth Avenue, and it was for me like a miracle. In fact, I hadn't the courage to go inside in. I just felt too small to not be dignified to enter. Anyway, all my money I earned, I spent in New York. I saw Pavarotti at Metropolitan Opera House, some Broadway shows, Cats, Black and Blue, Les Miserables. I saw even Woody Allen playing the clarinet on Manhattan, and some hard rock concerts. It was the most beautiful holidays for my life.
In 1996, you were selected to be part of the oldest choir in the world, the Sistine Chapel Choir. And as such, you became the first Polish singer in over 600 years to have that great honor. How did you ever get selected, Cezary?
It was really pure case. When I went to sing one of the several auditions of my life, I didn't know absolutely that it was the Sistine Chapel Choir's audition. I brought not sacred music, but the opera pieces. If I remember good, I sang the Lenski aria from the Eugene Onegin by Tchaikovsky, and old maestro Bartolucci accompanied with a piano. He was amazing. Anyway, I sang an excellent audition, and 3 months later, Monsignor Bartolucci called me, and so I became the first Polish singer in the whole history of this famous musical institution.
Cezary, where did you get the love for music?
Well, as a teenager, I didn't think to become a musician at all. My parents met to each other during the university studies in Gdańsk. They met at the amateur opera singing courses. They became engineers later, but my mother's dream was to have a singer in a family. She wanted to sing, and finally she managed to do that. After my studies of piano and trumpet in my birth town, I graduated from the Warsaw Chopin University of Music as an opera singer. Then, thanks to Rotary International Foundation scholarship, I went to Italy. After the first concerts I did, I just loved it.
We're talking to Cezary Stock, who has a fabulous voice, great opera singer, and here's him singing Granada. Cezary Stock singing Granada. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible. And when we come back, we'll ask Cesari about the Sistine Chapel Choir. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and with Cesari Stock, a singer for the last 21 years with the Sistine Chapel Choir. Cesari, tell us about the oldest choir in the world, also known as the Pope's Choir, please.
Yes, the singing in the oldest choir, really oldest choir in the world, the singing in the Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel, It's just like the share to great tradition. It's like renew the history, not only maybe I think the, like renew the religious mystery. It's for me. It's like restore the Michelangelo's frescoes with our vocal brushes. Sometimes it could be we feel all the singers. We feel the part of these paintings. Someone said that the Sistine Chapel is a door for paradise, so we can also feel like paradise employers.
What's it like to sing for a pope?
Jack, I had to tell you that it depends what kind of the pope. The next question.
Okay, all right. Now, the first pope you started to sing for was a Polish fella by the name of John Paul II the Great,
exactly.
Now saint. Can you share one great story about John Paul II, please?
Yes. You know, every time I met the Pope John Paul II, we spoke about our common love. We spoke about the Tatra Mountains. It seemed only like a commonplace conversations. I'm sure. I can guarantee you that it was only just a pretext, just excuse to do very spiritual conversations. I think all I learned from the John Paul II about this his personal history and how changed we the world is just Jack, the name of your show.
He definitely changed the world. He was the biggest force in getting communists to fall. That's what Reagan says. That's what Gorbachev says. That's what Lech Walesa says. That's what Margaret Thatcher say. So, and you served him. You sang for him from 1996 until his death in 2005. Then, starting in 2005, Pope Benedict is named Pope. You sing for him from 2005 to 2013. What's the biggest thing he taught you?
Yes, about Benedict. When I met the first time the Pope Benedict, I told him in German language something about me, you know, my presentation and to where I come from. I could never expect his answer. He answered me in Polish language. So he learned a little bit Polish before with John Paul II. Someone said about him the cold Pope, but my personal experience showed me a very, very warm and humble person. You know, I was present. I was privileged to be present in the room when he announced the abdication. For me, he was a great and courageous man. He had enormous knowledge and the culture. He could be like a diva, like an opera diva, but he wasn't. And I think that from the Pope Benedict, I learned. Really rent to be just a humble, yeah.
All right, now since 2013, you've had the honor of singing for Pope Francis. Can you tell us one great story about you and Pope Francis?
Yeah, this is a very funny story. When you enter to Vatican City, there are different traffic lights, normal traffic lights. One day I was waiting on my scooter for the green light at the Santa Marta entrance. Vatican entrance, and the lights changed, and I moved. Suddenly, I saw the simple city car, which I was going to crash into. Fortunately, I stopped at the last moment, and the frightened passenger of the city car opened the window, and finally, with a smile, told me, "I beg your pardon, you were right." I said, "No problem." You know that the scared passenger was the Pope Francis. This funny meeting told me that even the most important person in all over the world is just a person.
You should have said, "I forgive you, Your Holiness, I forgive you." So what's the biggest thing you've learned from Pope Francis?
That the great persons, you are more you're great, you are more you're normal. You're just a human person.
All right. We met because the Sistine Chapel Choir recently came to America. First, you performed in New York City, St. Patrick's Cathedral. Then you went to Washington, D.C. And then the choir spent 4 or 5 days here in Detroit. And on Saturday, September 16th, Cesare, in St. Patrick's Cathedral, to a sold-out crowd, Fifth Avenue,
yes,
you sang a portion of a solo. And 27 years before, you were this young Polish carpenter, waiter, okay?
Yes.
Guy drinking beer. What did you think about when you were singing that solo in St. Patrick's?
Yes, it's just like a scene of the theater. After my American experience as a young Polish student, poor Polish student, I returned to New York. Imagine I have the courage to enter to St. Patrick's Church. But I don't need it. I don't need all this courage because St. Patrick is just waiting for me. It's incredible. I just walk on the Fifth Avenue and I stop in the front of it. It seems much, much smaller than I remember. And I suddenly understand that my memories are right. The cathedral church is the same size. Maybe suddenly I thought that I grew up inside. I am bigger now. So the proportion is completely changed. It was just such natural to sing my solo part in my, this is mine, St. Patrick Cathedral Church.
The last two Christmas Eves, Cesare, you've stood in front of the Pope, Francis, while the place is filled with cardinals and dignitaries, and you've sung a solo at the Midnight Mass in St. Peter's. What is that like?
I have to tell you that it was the biggest privilege I have never had in my life. As an opera singer, I sang in a lot of important opera and concert houses in all over the world. I missed just La Scala, but this is a point. Some years ago, I sang an audition for La Scala. 4 months later, they called me. They called my manager for the very interesting contract for the production of La Scala and Berlin Opera House. As a conductor, was Daniel Barenboim. But it was an Eastern period. You know, the singing for the Pope is not only a job. It should be, and for me it is, it's just a mission. So I said no. I said no to La Scala. It's incredible, but it's true. Some of my friends, singers, opera singers, who sang a few times at La Scala, told me that unfortunately, he will never sing for the Pope, especially during the Christmas Mass, but he wish that more than sing at La Scala. So finally, he said, usually we have to listen to Pope. You, Cesare, you've got just 3 minutes when the Pope had listened to you. It was very, very funny.
And here is a portion of Cesare singing in front of the Pope, St. Peter's Cathedral, Christmas Eve.
Sexagesima quinta, iuxta Danielis prophetiam, Olympiade centesima nonagesima quarta. Ab urbe condita anno septingentesimo quinquagesimo secundo. Anno imperii Caesaris Octaviani Augusti quadragesimo secundo. Tot orbe in pace composito. Iesus Christus, Eternus Deus, Eternique Patris Filius, Mundum volens adventus suo pissimo consecrare, De Spiritu Sancto conceptus, Novemque post conceptionem de cursis mensibus, In Bethlehem iude nascitur, ex Maria Virgine, factus homo. Nativitas, Domini nostri Jesu Christi, secundum carne.
That was Cesari singing a portion of Kalenda. Cesari, your mom's 86 years old. She's living in Poland. She's watching these last couple of Christmas Eves, the Midnight Mass, and she sees her son and hears her son singing this solo. What was that like for your mom?
This is such exciting every time I have to sing on TV live, especially the Christmas Mass. I know that my mom is watching me. She's waiting just 3-4 days waiting for me. Maybe more than for the Pope, but I'm sure he forgives her. I miss the Polish Christmas since I started to work with the Sistine Chapel Choir. I miss the Christmas snow, the traditional Polish songs, you know, with the Christmas tree. And thanks to technology, we can feel together with my mom at this moment. This is a very truant and deep sensation. This is beautiful.
We're talking to Cesari Stark, who's been a member of the Sistine Chapel Choir for 21 years. And it's been said that the only thing missing from the choir are wings. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Cesari Stark, who's been a member for the last 21 years of the Sistine Chapel Choir. Cesari, it's been said that the music is the international language. How do you explain the magic of music?
Yes, the music, especially for the vocal music, is just a voice. If you remember, the first prophets didn't see the God; they just heard Him. So you can understand how important the voice is. The Saint Francis of Assisi communicated with the birds because he knew the universal language. The vocal musical language is older than the Aramaic, the Hebrew, Arab, and then Chinese languages. And I'm sure who has open heart can understand very well this language. And without the musical studies, even. For the person, I think, with a closed heart, it's just another foreign language. I think that when you go to paradise, I'm sure that you don't need any language certificate.
Cesari, I was around you quite a bit for that Thursday through Sunday. It was an honor to be with you. And one of the things that struck me was you're a world-class opera singer. But you're not a diva. You're just very humble, very down to earth. Why is that?
Yes, I sang in all over the world, it's true. I worked with the great conductors. One of them was Leonard Bernstein. But every day, every time I did it, I said myself, my God, for this, thank you for this opportunity, and thank you that I was on a level with it. Is just for me more important, the most important. I think that the person who behave like a diva just need to feel more sure and powerful. That's it. I mean, they want to hide some scarcity, some defect, and they don't accept not be a perfect.
I quote you now, when I sing, it's not me. What do you mean by that?
Well, when I sang opera sometimes for over 70,000 person in life, I managed to overcome my fear. When I was on the stage and I saw all these people, I thought suddenly, it's just a dream. You don't have to be scared. You wake up tomorrow and the normal life will continue. The different mechanism happens when I have to sing the soloist part during the Pope's celebration, especially when the whole the world watches this celebration. Before I start to sing, I'm really terrorized. Then I start, I sing the first note, the second word, and I come outside of my body. I think maybe we will feel like that when we die. I rent my body to this sacred flow. I become something like a connection between the earth and the heaven. It's not me. It's not normal.
We're talking to Cesare Stark. Cesare, you're now a teacher of singing, and I quote you again, I learn much more from teaching than I ever did from learning.
Yes, I started 3 years ago this new professional travel, and what I want to tell you that nobody's perfect. During all my opera singer's life, I've never stopped to take a vocal technique lessons, and all the time I was completely aware that I had still to improve something. When I started my vocal coach's adventure, I verified that when you want to resolve the vocal problems of the other person, often you can find solutions for your defects, which you still have, and you can do that because you are more relaxed, and because you are not concentrated only on yourself. So I think this reasoning is valid not only for the vocal technique. You know, when you only try to help to other person, often unexpectedly you find the help for your own problems.
Back in December of 2016, 60 Minutes, which I believe is the longest running weekly show in the history of America, aired a segment on the Sistine Chapel Choir. And as part of that show, you were highlighted. What was that experience like?
So we spoke with Charlie Rose in our rehearsal room in Rome. I told him that we are the Pope's family, and this is the truth. The Sistine Chapel Choir and all the cardinals in the Vatican are called officially the Pope's family. So officially, so and we are the family. The Pope is for me like a father, my spiritual reference. So I try as his son. I try to be helpful for him. I mean, I have to be able with my singing to make the Pope's prayer more powerful.
here is a portion of Tuas Petros, performed by the Sistine Chapel Choir. Tuas Petros, performed by the Sistine Chapel Choir. And a week after that segment aired on 60 Minutes, they started the Christmas show with this statement. We're about to do something we have not done in 49 years on 60 Minutes. That is, broadcast the same story 2 weeks in a row. We're talking to Cesare Stark, and I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Cesare Stark, who's performed a solo during the last two Christmas midnight masses at St. Peter's in the Vatican. Cesare, you've got 700 young boys audition a year, and 10 to 12 of them make it. This oldest choir in the world has 20 adult singers, 35 children singers. And when that young boy is 13, 14 years old, and his voice starting to change, he's told by someone that he can no longer be a member of the choir. You're like a young grandfather to these kids now. How do you console them, Cesare?
So it's not so easy for them. I know about it. We are friends. We just like a friendship with these boys, and they ask me often about the vocal technique, the expression, all the about the adult life of the singers. Then I tell them that even if it's finished, because it's not so easy, this is only a chapter of your life. So if you are able to read this chapter good, you can be sure that your present, your future chapter will be much better.
Let's talk about the Sistine Chapel itself. 25,000 people a day see it. That's 5 million people a year. Michelangelo painted it. Took him over 4 years. It's 130 foot long, it's 43 foot wide. What is it like being in the Sistine Chapel when you're singing?
It's for me, it's like a sing for God, not for Pope. Just directly to sing for God. This is not easy because it's not normal. For me it's like a travel in the past because the Sistine Chapel size is the same like a temple of the Jerusalem, ancient temple of the Jerusalem. So if this is a travel in the time, it's incredible.
Your story is phenomenal. Someday they could make a movie about Cezary Stark. Here's this young Polish kid, very poor family, in communist Poland. Mom has a dream that he's going to be a singer. You become a world-class opera singer all over the world, 21 years with the Sistine Chapel Choir. Cezary, what are you the proudest of?
I think I did all everything with my hands. You know, I built it my life without any compromise. I'm proud of this.
As our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners, Cezary?
So to all the young listeners of your show, I would like to tell that to learn every day something new. You just never know that will be useful in your future life. I think in the second one that if you are really used to learn, to study when you are young, you will never stop to learn in your adult life. And I think that it will get to be always more and more pleasant for you.
Cezary Stark, you and the fellow members of the Sistine Chapel Choir, you bring the sounds of heaven to earth each day. Please keep up the great, great work. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.